Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35.
The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35 reads this way. It says, "Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded of the important truth that you are here in our midst where two or three are gathered together in your name. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We pray, Lord, for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit to guide us into all of your truths, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up. And Lord, that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory through each and every one of your people, Lord. May you use us in a great and mighty way, Lord, that the world truly might know there's a God in heaven that is concerned about the souls of mankind. Bless your word, build your church, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, They Followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And so tonight we're going to take note of what happens when we follow the Lord, when we follow him in a way that gets his attention. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get his attention. And the reason for that is because it requires faith. Amen? It requires, if we seek him, we ought to seek him like we believe he's going to answer us. Amen? If we seek him and not expect anything, well, will we receive anything? No, the answer is no. If we're not expecting to get anything, because the Bible says, so be it according unto your faith. Amen? And so we want to have faith or trust that the Lord is going to supply everything that he promised. So tonight we want to consider three thoughts, and that is, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will take notice. That's the first thing we'll take notice of tonight. Secondly, we'll bring others to Jesus, and we'll see that here in Andrew and Peter. And then also, we'll see the Lord at work. That's a good thing. God, we want to see the Lord working. Amen? So when we follow the Lord's going to take notice. When we follow the Lord, we ought to be bringing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, we ought to say, God, I need you to do that in my life. And then we will see the Lord at work. How about you? Do you want to see the Lord at work? Amen? I want to see the Lord working because that's when things happen. If the Lord's not working, it doesn't matter what we're doing. If the Lord is not working, what are we doing? So God, we need you to work in our lives. So let's take note here of the first thought here, verses 38 and 39. And that is that the Lord will take notice. Look at verse 37 again. It says, And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, Then Jesus turned, as they were following him, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? Did you see that? They got the Lord's attention. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord turned and saw them following. Isn't that good? So can you imagine that scene? They're just following behind him, and they're saying, Look, this is the Lamb of God. John just told us, this is the Lamb of God. Hey, listen, this is what was prophesied. It's taking place right now in our day and age. My goodness, they were a little bit excited about following the Lord Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden what happens? The Lord turns and sees them following, and notice what he says here. What seek ye? What are you looking for? That's a good question today. What are we looking for? Hey, can you wonder what they were looking for? I don't think they were looking for the stock market report. I don't think they were looking to see who the president was. I think they were looking to find out who Jesus was, amen, and what he was about. And so, again, verse 38, Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? That's a good thing, Lord. Remember what the Lord said about abiding in him and him abiding in us? And bearing fruit. Listen, we ought to want to abide where the Lord is at. Amen. Listen, the child of God ought to be at home where the Lord is at. And so he says, they say, Master, where dwellest thou? And notice what he says to them here in verse 39. He saith unto them, Come and see. Isn't that good? Come and see. God wants to show us things that we don't know about. But if we think we know it all, we have nothing to ask God for. If we got everything that we need, if we have all that we want from the Lord, is the Lord going to say, come and see? If we're not at, Lord, I need to learn more about you. Lord, I need to understand how you work. Lord, I don't want to understand me. I want to know about you. I want to know where you dwell. And you know what the Lord will say? Can you guess? Come and see. Come and see. And so he says unto them, verse 39, come and see. And what did they do? They came and saw where he dwelt. Listen to this. And abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, the first hour is at 6 a.m., so it's about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And so there they were. And what did they do? They abode with him. Do you think those disciples enjoyed the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, how about us? Do we enjoy the presence of God? How will we enjoy that? Well, through his word, we get into the presence of the Lord. Through prayer and through the Holy Spirit, because he's the one, the only one that guides us into more truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and by the way, the Lord also said, listen, if you call upon the Father for the Holy Spirit, he says, just as the Father loves his own even more than we love our own, he'll give them that. He'll grant that for them. And so he wants to grant that for us. And so there they are. And I think they're a little bit excited. And not only did they get to see where the Lord was at, but they got to spend time with him. And that time with the Lord really changed their plans for the day. Don't you think so? It changed their understanding for that day. And it changed their understanding of who God was in their lives. So he says, come and see. The Lord didn't simply tell them where he lived. Jesus wanted them to see where he lived. You know, the Lord still wants his disciples to see and understand him in a personal way. And again, they abode with him, and God wants us to abide in him. And so that brings us to the second thought. We'll bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 40 here. They were there at the 10th hour. Then verse 40 picks up. It says, one of the two disciples which heard John speak, listen to this, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So this is one of the two. And so here's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He is enjoying the fellowship of the Lord. And so there he is. And then it says, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother. This is still the same day. He had spent time with the Lord, and now he's going to find his brother. Why? Because he's got some exciting news to share with him. Verse 41, he findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We found who the prophets were talking about. You think that was a big find? Amen. Listen, do you think that excited Andrew? Listen, it ought to excite us. Hey, listen, we can find the Lord every day. We just have to seek him. We can walk with Jesus because of the grace of God that has been given to us and granted to us. We can walk with Jesus how often? Isn't that amazing? All the time. Every day, we can walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. All we have to do is seek him, and he's promised we will find him. And so what does Andrew do? He's telling his brother. Listen, when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to want to tell our loved ones. Amen? We're going to want to tell our family about the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, we have to have the power of God or nothing happens. We can tell people about Jesus all day long, but if God's not working, not a lot's going to take place. And so we have to say, listen, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to know him in his power and in his strength so that lives will be changed, or we're just spinning our wheels going nowhere fast. What good is it if you and I have eternal life and cannot tell others and them be saved? Listen, not just telling others, but their lives being changed. And so if their lives aren't being changed, shall we just continue through the same routine and just continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome? That'll never happen. So we've got to say, Lord, there is a problem. And I would dare say the problem is where?
With us.
It's on our part, not on his. Has the Lord changed? Has the Lord's arm been shortened that they can't reach us? Is it grown weak, or is it still strong? So listen, this is the only way the Bible tells us revival comes. If my people shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray. It's the only way that it happens. And so, here they are. And Simon Peter's telling Peter about what's going on here. He's a little bit excited. Again, verse 41, he findeth his own brother Simon Peter and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now here's the last thought here, and we'll see the Lord at work when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice the time signature here, verse 43, the day following. This is the next day. So listen, the iron is still hot. Amen? They didn't say, oh, listen, I'll see you next week. I'll see you next month. Listen, when I got time, I'll do the religious thing. That was not their attitude. So the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, what? He says, follow me. Is the Lord in the business of having his people follow him? That's his business, isn't it? He says, I'm the great shepherd. So many times he says, listen, follow me and I will lead you into joy. I will lead you into my peace. I will lead you into life everlasting. I will lead you into the power and grace of God that will touch and impact our world and our day and age. Is this still the will of God, or is this just for the time of the beginning of the first century? Is this still for today? Has God changed? He hasn't changed. And so he finds Philip and he says to him, follow me. Now watch this. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Then notice what Philip does. Philip findeth Nathanael. Philip finds Nathanael. And what happens from there? And saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Did you get that? He just bypassed. Wait a minute. He's not supposed to have this earthly father because he is the son of God, and all of his credentials, these things were true, but they were not the whole truth in the sense of who Jesus was. But he gave what everybody knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was excited because he wasn't concerned about these little details. He knew who the Lord was because he had a personal contact with him, and God influenced his life. If God did not influence his life, tell me, would he have gone to go look for Nathanael? If he wasn't impressed with what the Lord was doing in his own life, would he have the gumption to go tell Nathanael? No, he wouldn't have. And so we have to think about it like this. Listen, has God given to us the gumption and the power to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we don't have it, pray tell, what shall we do? Pray for it. We have to ask them. Yes. We have to get on board. We have to, listen, Lord, stir up my heart. Amen. Set my soul on fire for you. Listen, do you believe we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day? We're going to stand before God one day. And I don't want to be that servant that hid his talent. God wants he wants a return. And the return is salvation of souls. That's the return. What good is it if we study the Word of God and there's no power of God? What good is it? The Pharisees did that, but their lives were changing. See, God doesn't want to give us just a head knowledge. He wants our hearts. My son, give me thine heart. Because if he has our heart, he has all of us. He has everything that we are, and we'll be excited about what he wants to do. And we'll start telling other people, and we'll see God working. Listen, do you think Andrew was impressed that Peter went after him? Listen, as many mistakes as Peter made during the Lord's earthly ministry, do you think Andrew ever regretted telling Peter about the Lord? He never regretted it. Especially after the day on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls got saved, do you think he would say, "Man, I'm so glad God used me to tell my brother about the Lord Jesus Christ"? You know, we don't know whose life we might impact by sharing the gospel. It might be the next one to win many souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know. And so he goes to find Nathanael there in verse 45 and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He had no doubt about it. How did he have no doubt about it? God was working. God was working. Do you know, listen, when we tell people about the Lord, we need God to be working for them to believe it. We need God to be at work. And so he says here in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? So let me ask you a question. Is this a positive remark or a negative one? Negative. It's negative. I don't know that I got time for that. That doesn't ring true to me. That doesn't make any sense. But notice what Philip says unto him, come and see. Come and see. And so did he come and see? What moved Nathanael to go see? The Lord was working. Because he asked the question, can anything good really come? Why did he go if he said himself? Doesn't make any sense. Can anything good? Listen, the best came out of the Lord Jesus Christ, did it not? So what happens here? Philip tells him in verse 46, come and see. And notice what happens. We find what he did. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. So he came, didn't he? He was moved to go see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the only way? Listen, we want people to come and see for themselves and taste for themselves the goodness and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we? But we need the power of God on us so that God will move people to come and see. Amen. Philip did not move Nathanael. God did. You and I can't move anybody toward the Lord Jesus Christ, but God can.
Amen.
God can. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming, verse 47, to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite indeed whom is no guile. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. And Nathanael's getting ready to find out what kind of statement. This statement was a life-transforming statement to Nathanael that only Jesus himself could make.
Amen.
Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? You know, we're bringing people to the one who knows everybody better than they know themselves. Does God know us better than we know ourselves?
Amen.
Think about that. God knows us even better than we know ourselves. Did God know Peter even better than Peter knew Peter? He did. And he still holds us in his hands. Isn't that great? We serve a wonderful, glorious, merciful, great God. This is the way God works. So, verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, remember when Philip called him? When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, this was the right word at the right time by God himself.
Amen. Amen.
You and I couldn't have done that. We bring people to the Lord and he reveals himself to them and they say, you are the Savior. We can't make people see that. Philip could not have done that for Nathanael. It took the Lord to do that for Nathanael. So notice what Nathanael says, verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God from Nazareth. Can any good thing? Where'd that go? Where did that go? Gone. Can any good thing come from that? That was his mindset before God got a hold of him. And by the way, God was working the whole time through Philip.
Amen.
And he followed him. He says, "Thou art the King of Israel." Wow! What a revelation. What a revelation. Who gave Nathanael that revelation? Let me just tell you this. It wasn't Philip. It was God. It can only be God. God used Philip to bring Nathanael to the Lord, to himself. Has God's mode or method changed? He will use you and I to bring people to, and they will get saved. They will get saved if we believe him for it. But if we think we've got something fancy to say to somebody, we'll say it all day long and all year long and decades and scores, and nothing's going to happen. But when God is involved, listen, tell me if this is not true, lives are eternally changed. Is that the truth? That's exciting. Amen? God says, come, I want to use you to do that. I want to give you that understanding. And I want you, listen, Philip was excited to go tell Nathanael. And let me ask you a question. Do you think Philip thought, man, I don't know if I should have done that. Do you think Philip looked at that and said, man, I could have been doing something else? Or do you think he thought there was nothing better I could have done that day? Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Did you see that? Listen. Do you and I believe because the Lord himself revealed himself and convicted us by the Holy Spirit, and you and I got saved because we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were the happiest person on planet Earth that day that we got saved, and we were excited about our eternal life, and do you know, and we said, we believe you, Jesus. Thou art the Son of God. Is that not the truth? And do you know what? I believe in you. Amen. And he says, you're going to see greater things than these if you walk with me. You're going to see greater things. Amen. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Do you think that God can draw our hearts nearer to him than when we first got saved? Do you think our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can grow and it can become something that we could have never imagined? Amen. To the glory of God? God says, if you'll call on me and if you'll seek me, I'll make sure that you'll find me. Praise the Lord. And I will use you for my honor and glory, to change the lives of people that are condemned to hell, that are condemned already. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that there's anything greater that we could do on this side of eternity that will bring more joy into our lives and into our Savior himself, that will be completely yielded. God is wanting our attention. God is wanting us to say, he's worth following. And you know what God will do as we follow him? He will take note. And he'll ask, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are we looking for? What are you looking for? What is it? What is it? What is your greatest desire that you want on this side of eternity? It begins there. And if it's not the Lord, may we say, oh God, turn my heart toward you. See, God is wanting his people to seek him. And that's where we, not waiting for the neighbor, not waiting for the next person, not waiting to see something. Though no one join me, amen? Still, I will follow, though no one join me. God is wanting our hearts. Here's the question. Do we want him to have it? Because he wants it. And if we'll give it to him, boy, we can't even imagine what God can show us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, and your love toward us. May we, Lord, may you create in our hearts a desire to seek you and your will for our lives and your purpose, that we might abide in you. Lord, may you be the most important thing in our hearts and in our minds. May we set aside all of our plans to have you first. And then, Lord, might you be glorified by your mercy and grace in our lives to be used for your honor and glory. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.